Okay, y'all, listen, Lisa. Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Welcome to episode 9 of the JLP Radio Show. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janice Yvette, and I'm here with my esteemed co-host.
Stills the Great.
Stills, it has been a little while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So much stuff has happened. We almost got killed by the smog in the air from Canada.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Juneteenth passed us. Father's Day. How was your Father's Day? Happy Father's Day. How was that?
Man, thank you, man. Father's Day was it was interesting for me. You know, I got back home Father's Day night, so
okay. And where you was,
little man? I ain't see my little man until a couple days after that. But every day is Father's Day, man. When you're a father in your
definitely
kid's life, you know what I'm saying?
Like definitely. Me.
So it was.
Shout out, drop a bomb for all the fathers.
All the fathers, drop a bomb for them. You know.
Thank you for all you do, especially the black fathers out there. You guys don't get your just due. So shout out to y'all.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So it was good for me, man. Father's Day was good.
Good, you deserve it.
Good. Yeah. Everything was good.
But where were you? You said when you got back. Father's Day. Where you went?
I did go to Miami on some business. I went down to Miami for the Black Film Festival.
Nice. How was that? What kind of experiences was that? I know it was crazy.
It was a great experience. I mean, I went before. Like I said, I went back in like, it was, I want to say like 2008.
Mm-hmm.
2009. This is around the time when G-Unit first started doing those animated videos.
Yes.
I went down there with the crew that kind of did all the animated videos at the time for them. And, you know, I went down there just as a buddy, just to be down there, just to see what's going on. So now this time I went down with something to actually offer. And, you know, I tried to get down there to get some knowledge and information about some things that I'm trying to expand on and do.
How's looking?
It's looking good. I met a lot of people, man. And for those that don't know what the Black Film Festival is, man, Black Film Festival is basically a festival where most of the minority executives from these big companies mm-hmm. come to Miami. They get together, they network, they preview up and coming or new shows by some of your favorite artists. Like mm-hmm. one, I saw the Jamie Foxx. One of the last movies that Jamie Foxx did before he, you know, got into a situation.
Right.
It's called They Clone Tyrone. It comes out in July. That was pretty cool. It was okay. pretty cool. The one that I did miss, the night I was supposed to be out, I missed the night. This was when Gabrielle Union premiered her love story. You know what I mean?
What's that going to be about?
I forgot the name of it. And that's what made me, you know.
Wait a minute. She's producing it, right?
Yes,
or something like that.
Yes,
yeah.
And she's in it. She's also in it.
So
she played a
part
in it.
Shout out to Gabrielle Union.
I missed that. And that was the night when everybody came down, to Taraji P. Henson. Everybody was red carpet. Everybody. That event was the event I needed to be at. But for my own personal reasons, I was like, I ain't going to see no Gabrielle.
Yeah,
look what she did to Dwayne Wade and his son. So.
That's a whole other show.
That's a whole other show. I let my personal views getting away of the business side of things, and I ended up missing that event, and that was one of the biggest events that happened that weekend. But other than that, got to chill out with like some executives, record execs. They you know, gave us some insight.
Did you talk to them about me?
I ain't get to talk to nobody. I'm gonna be honest with you. I was a little bit too cool for school out there. I'm not
you
gonna
was?
Lie. Yeah, I was cool for, I was too, everybody was looking
I'm
I mean,
going next year. I'm
everybody,
be like,
I'm not
like,
gonna lie. Everybody that talked to me, they initiated the conversation because I was so quiet. I just was down there. I had my bucket hat on, you know, my shades. I'm just chilling. Just
but that's how you got to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't
the
thirsty.
The mysterious one.
Yeah, I wasn't thirsty. I wasn't thirsty at all. And even guys
that's
like
that's annoying
Kevin,
to people in the industry.
Yeah, Kevin Lyles and everybody was like,
what?
Yeah, looking at me, trying to get my attention. I wasn't really paying them no mind. But I went out there really for information. I made some great connections with a lot of independent filmmakers that have their own distribution and all that stuff.
I didn't know you wanted to make films.
Hey, man.
You know I'm an actress. Don't play with
hey,
me.
Hey, man, we're all actresses at some point in time in life. Nah,
let me know. I could put on a little something. I
mean, but that really wasn't the main focus for me going down there, like to do the filming. But it's part of the fabric of what we do here. So
yes,
it makes sense to learn more about it, get more involved in it, and that's kind of like what I took from it. You know what I mean? I really was down there more so for the music side, radio placement, like for music. You know, I do music.
What's the music? What's the music and radio vibe in Miami?
I mean, what do you mean?
Is it like the popularity? Are people listening to the music? Are people more, you know, streaming like they do here? Like, it's different.
The city of Miami and South Beach is two different things. The city of Miami is First 48. When you look at A&E and you look at those criminals.
That's what it is, for real?
Yeah, that's Miami. You make one bad turn, you end up somewhere where you don't belong, and then you might not get out of there. But then the Strip, South Beach, is really a tourist attraction for everybody to come down there and have a good time and stuff.
Oh, yes.
But it was a good experience.
Well, it sounded like a good time. Next year, I want to go. It sounded like amazing. So, but what was I? What have I been up to?
Yeah, what you been up to? Check you out.
We last recorded. And if you're listening now, thank you so much for listening. You can call in at 516-206-0711. You can chat with me. We have a special guest today. So last we met, my parents was on. It was for Mother's Day, and then it just got crazy. The whole month of May and June, it went so crazy. We had my daughter's birthday, then my daughter's graduation, my daughter's
congratulations.
Prom. Yeah, thank you so much. She's graduating. You know, I talked about the anticipation leading up to it, and it's a lot. Like, shout out to all the 2023 graduates. Congratulations to all y'all. Congratulations also to the parents, because it takes a lot.
Shout out to the parents.
A lot goes into the planning and buying dresses and keeping up with teachers and figuring out the next move and going to the doctor and getting all your shots and camp. And it's a lot of stuff. And I'm not saying dads don't do that. I'm sure dads are heavily involved in it too. But just shout out to everybody who is in graduate deep in or at the end of graduation season. It was a really busy one. So I'm licensed to do hair now. So I'm excited about that.
Congratulations.
I could not wait to get back here though, because I literally missed this place so much. Like, everybody kept saying, when's the next show? And I said, because it started to like catch on. People started sharing it. A lot of people now that they are on hiatus, like especially my teacher friends, they're like, Janice, like, you got a really good show. And I think what I need to be more vigilant about in terms of this show and getting the word out is kind of like being patient as well. You know, 8 episodes is a lot, you know, for me. And I want to make sure I'm getting the word out. So I plan on doing like a TikTok. I heard TikTok is where it's at.
Yeah, TikTok is I mean, well, you know.
Terms of getting the word out. Listen, I don't know. I'm old in the game.
Don't think it's getting shown in China.
No. I'm just, I'm just saying, just heavy promotion. Now that I'm like, have a lot of downtime, you know, I want to make a lot of ideas come to fruition. You know, I had like some personal issues with family that I'm still trying to get over. But, you know, life happens and, you know, you got to keep on going. And that's kind of like where I am. I'm super excited to jump right back into it, because I've been wanting, everybody knows that, you know, this podcast has made up a lot of different things. A lot of them is like the unsung heroes, the people in education. You know, people know I'm very, very into poetry, spoken word, and that's kind of what I want to use my platform for. I know you were doing, you were on your journey, not your little journey, but your journey, your health journey. How is that going?
I mean, you know, I've been more conscious, but you know, just being outside and being everywhere, it was hard to stick to a real regimen. But I've been definitely more conscious of what I've been
doing. And I think that's key.
Yeah, so I mean, I wasn't going hard like how I was in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I've been moving around and doing everything, and it's hard when you're on the road to like stick with all of that stuff. But it's been going well, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing what I was told to do, you know what I mean, by health professionals and stuff like that. And I've been also dibbling and dabbling with things that other people on the outside was telling me to try and all of that stuff. So I've been doing well. I've been doing good. I feel good.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm proud of you and feeling good. That's like great to hear. Yeah. And I want to go back real quick on what you said, like, you know, you're conscious of it, right? Uh-huh. And I think a lot of times where we lose ourselves is when we stop thinking about what it is, how we're treating our bodies, you know.
There we go.
Just recognizing, you know, okay, I did this last week. I'm not mm-hmm. going to do it this week. I'm mm-hmm. going to be more active. There you know, just having that mindset that you're going to make sure you watch any and everything. I want to jump right into it. I know we're going to go to our first break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking to an amazing woman.
Who's that?
Her name is Antoinette Kane, yeah. And I am privileged to know this woman. She's not only my very, very close personal friend, yeah. but she newly founded a school. She saw there was a gap in the education system, and she decided to do what she knew had to be done to kind of start closing it. So we're gonna get an inside aspect of what it's like to open up a school, to found a school, and everything that she's been through that led her up into that point. I'm really excited. So stay tuned for that.
So what we doing? We going into the first
Yeah, we can go on to our first break. Okay. I want to play all her favorites. Because, you know, I'm kind of dedicating this show because this is a big deal to open up a school, you know?
That's what's up, man. For real, man. Shout out to Antoinette, man. I'm curious to hear what's going on over there. But don't forget, check in the numbers 516-206-0711. We'll be back.
I ain't playing with you.
Girl, you a walking trophy. You a walking trophy. My girl, you a walking trophy. Yeah, your friends, them a walking trophy. Tell a girl, say, girl, you know, say you're pretty from your barn. Walk out, girl, you not try hard. Them girls, they're not pretty in the real life. You're pretty from the grandma, you're pretty in the real life. Your body looks good, set right, set right. You think don't know, pussy will tight, will take. Body clean, have a solid light. And your skin just a glow like pepper light. Grandma, you're pretty in a real life. You a walking trophy. You a walking trophy. My girl, you a walking trophy. Tell your friends, I'm a walking trophy. Girl, you know, say you're pretty from your barn. Walk out, girl, you not try hard. Them girls, they're not pretty in a real life. You're pretty from the grandma, you're pretty in a real life. Your body look good, sit right, sit right. You think don't know, pussy will tight, will tight. Body clean, have a solid light. Sunburn up some girl, I want to some girl, but pretty girl, nah argue with broke girl. Me well clean everything, level up girl. Some of the money I crush on Wednesday, but me live by your man mind every day. So I'm gonna never get your body done, girl. If you get your body done, I know nothing if you get your body done. If you get your body done, get your body done. Some of them ugly body pop down, girl. Them body pop. Get your body done, if you get your body done, get your body done. Girl, you know, say you're pretty from your barn. Walk out, girl, you're not trying hard. Them girls, they're not pretty in a real life. You're pretty from the grandma, you're pretty in a real life. Your body look good, sit right, sit right. You think don't know, pussy will tight, will tight. Body clean, have a solid light. And your skin just a glow like pepper light. Some girl, you know, see them when them wake up. Cause
So I am, we're back, and I told you that before we come back, we're going to hear from somebody who is amazing, and I just want to paint a picture real quick before she gets on it, if that's okay. So to set it up, right, I started my charter school teaching part of my career about 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
And so that
shout
first
out to the
experience,
charter schools.
Yes, charter schools are very good schools depending on which one you're at. Not network, just depends on the school because every school is ran differently. But anyway, shout out to them. I had the pleasure of working with an individual who I thought was just like mad annoying when I first met her. And I was just like, yo, who is this girl? Because she kind of like came to our school on my second year there. And it was fun as we got through the school year because we faced a lot of craziness together with our administration, with other teachers there. And we kind of formed a bond by the end of that year. Mm-hmm. And even though everybody, we went in our separate ways, we made sure that we stayed in contact. And I think the reason why our bond was so solid is because, you know, of her story. It's very similar to my story in that, you know, that she has that survivor spirit. Like she kind of mm-hmm. went through like some really, really tough times. Mm-hmm. And for her to persevere, number one, she was always a star teacher mm-hmm. and just a role model for educators and a standard to kind of look up to at a very young age, because I don't even think she's 30 yet. She's not mm-hmm. 30 yet. Mm-hmm. And for her to have accomplished all that she has accomplished up until this point is truly, mm-hmm. truly an awesome feat. It's not, I just don't want it to go unnoticed. So I decided that I was going to take my platform and kind of give it to her for a day, because mm-hmm. through everything she persevered. She, like I said, she saw that there was a need in education and she did something about it. So I don't want to say too much. I know she's trying to get on internet. Are you there?
Good. There we go.
There she goes.
There she is. There she is.
Sorry.
No, right. It's okay. Yeah. Girl,
somebody
please.
Somebody was probably smoking in my building, and it made the alarm go off.
Oh, okay,
shout
okay.
out to all the smokers out there. No, they ain't supposed to be out here smoking no cigarettes.
Go outside, y'all. Y'all messing up my podcast.
That's a fact, for real.
Antoinette, how are you today? Let me hear. Can we hear Antoinette? Okay, yeah, does that sound good?
Sure. I think that we should be good. Check
hello.
Us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect. I was telling, you know, I was bragging about you, but I'm going to let yes. you do the talking about you. The reason why I told you to come on here as my guest, not only are you one of my very closest friends and oldest friends, but you did something amazing this year, something that I think should not go unnoticed. And I just want to give you your flowers today. We're playing some of your favorite songs. And in the meeting, I want you to tell us, start from the beginning, like, who is Antoinette? Start from the very, very beginning. Where you from? All of that.
Okay. It's a long story, so I'll give you the snapshot. I'm Antoinette. I am from Brooklyn, born and raised. I grew up in Brooklyn, and at a young age, you know, my dad was in and out of prison, so I didn't really know who my dad was. And me and my brother, we were a year apart, and we both had a young teen mom, and so that came with a few different challenges. And so I basically, at 4, entered into the foster care system after my mom, experienced a shooting. It was a domestic violence situation, and though she survived, she just wasn't in a predicament where she could take care of me. Wow. And so that at an early age just really taught me to be independent. And I sort of could cling on school. I love school because it was like very a consistent place for me. I saw the same people every day and I just like to learn. And so that kind of stood with me my whole life. And definitely is full circle when I opened the school. I don't know the detail to which you want to need to
start
tell you that.
So let's start from where you and I met. What was going on and you're from that point in time? Because we, you know, I told everybody we taught together. Like, what mm-hmm. was some, what was like your whole main thing, your whole main focus or reason for going into education in the first place? Other than, you know, you love school.
Well, I actually never wanted to go in education. If you would ask me, I never in my life wanted to be a teacher. That was the last thing. Growing up, I really loved performance and performance arts and spoken word poetry. And I thought I was going to be an actress or a doctor or a lawyer, one of those. And then when I went to, I ended up getting a full scholarship to go to Bard College, which is like a private liberal arts, not far from where I ended up opening my school.
Wow.
About 30 minutes away. I started to study sociology. So I entered thinking I was going to be a writer. And then I found sociology, where my focus was really on race and the intersection of race, religion, and prisons. Mm-hmm. And just like social justice. So when I graduated college, I was convinced that I was going to abolish prisons and replace them with black owned farms. Like I had really big, I just knew that I was going to do something.
Right.
And do something that helped people, specifically people of color. So basically I didn't do that. I ended up applying for my dream school, which was Columbia School of Social Work, so that I could do that level entry work with those who are either impacted by people who are incarcerated or incarcerated themselves.
Yes.
This was inspired because while I was in college, I would tutor men who were incarcerated at Greenhaven Correctional Facility, upstate New York, and they were actually pursuing their bachelor's degree. And then I would spend my afternoons with high school students locally, and it was so interesting to me how the high school students were like, you know, I don't want to do this. Can I curse?
Yes.
Of course you can.
They're like, I don't want to do this shit, but then I'm working with men who will never get out of prison again. And they were so motivated to learn.
Wow.
And to like gain knowledge. And I was like, there's a gap there. Like, right. What? That don't make sense. But anyways, that's what I wanted to do. And then I ended up taking a gap year in between going back to get my master's from Columbia. And in that year, I found teaching. Actually, before I knew Janice as a teacher, I knew you as a mother because your daughters went to the school that I worked at.
Yep.
And they
first
were one
grade,
of my favorite kids. So we connected that way. And then, I went into the classroom within 1 year. I was very successful in the classroom. They promoted me to a grade level chair where I got to oversee the second grade team. And I had a really good relationship with students that they struggled with behaviorally. So that's when I was asked to go 10 blocks away to where Janice worked, Quick Height. And that's where I got to know you. And then we ended up on the same team.
Yeah. And I think, the rest was kind of history. And that was a crazy year. There was a lot of teachers quitting that year.
Janice, how did you feel about me when we met?
No, I already told them. I already said I didn't like you. I didn't like your style. You came in very cocky. You know, you put your Virgo hat on, and we was just like mad annoyed. But then I said when we got to work side by side, you know, because remember we weren't on the same team at first. I was on the third grade team, and then they moved me to cover the second grade class that the other teacher had left, and that's when I got on your team. And people were kind of like, oh my god, because it was two strong personalities, like, what is this relationship going to be like? Are they going to bump heads? And I thought that as well from, you know, previous interactions with you outside of being working right next to you. But what we quickly learned is that we were literally on the same page. We were parents, you know, we're good behavior managers, you know. And then what I learned from you is, like, and I'm still working on is my organization and attention to detail, but I think that we kind of like meshed in that way, and that kind of what was the glue that continued to hold our bond together, right? I know that, you know, you were doing so well, and you came up for assistant principal. And we were all rooted for you. We were so happy because, you know, we loved you so much. And then you didn't get it, right? And we were just like, you know, you were robbed. How could they? You're the best person for the job. You know, you had people stealing your curriculum, but so said that you weren't fit for the job. But, you know, I digress. I just had to say that. And then you went to another school. We parted ways. You taught at another school. I taught at another school. And what happened while you were at the other school?
Yeah, so I had went from the school we were at where I hated it working there, but I loved, you know, my relationships with my students and families, and I had really good data, so my principals kept me around, even though they didn't always like my attitude. And I went to another school where it was completely opposite. So I went from like complete a school with like complete white woman leadership to a school with black male leadership. And that was an interesting switch. And I thought it was going to be a little bit more seamless than it was, actually. I realized that it wasn't all what it was made out to be as well. Like, that school also came with its challenges and issues. And so I remember, that year just kind of feeling a little bit comfortable and complacent. And I think, like, my job was so easy. You know, I could, like, do it with my eyes closed, and I wasn't being challenged in a way.
Right.
And so I did get tasked with, like, overseeing the third grade team. And that was an interesting experience because I was working and having to manage adult women teachers who are all older than me and more experienced than me, and kind of like, wow. Why are you the one managing me? Wow. But anyways, it was mid-year where I was just feeling like, you know, I don't know. You ever get that experience where you, and not in an arrogant way, in the most humblest way, I mean, like, you know, you're too good for where you are.
Yes, of course.
You know, like, that you can be used. You're not being valued in the way. So therefore, you're taking a back seat when you should not be.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember it was the last day of February.
Every day.
Yep. And my horoscope, I'm big into astrology, and my horoscope was saying, like, you know, in February, you're going to get, like, life-changing news.
Mm-hmm.
At the edge of my toes, February came and gone, nothing special happened. The very last day of February, February 28th, I received an email stating, like, you've been nominated for this fellowship to have you open a school. And I had heard about the fellowship before.
Mm-hmm.
My first year of teaching, my AP said that I should do it, and I looked at her like I was crazy because I was like, I'm only a first-year teacher. What are you talking about, open a school?
Mm-hmm.
But now, 4 years into my teaching career, which, again, is not a lot, but I felt ready. So I applied for the fellowship, and as soon as I was about to fly out to Boston for the final stage, COVID hit. And so I ended up doing that interview virtually. And then in April of 2020, I got the fellowship. And it's called Building Excellent Schools. And basically what they do is they provide you with a livable stipend for a year while you work with a cohort of people across the nation who are opening their own schools. And you guys kind of like get to see different school models that exist, build your vision, and write your business plan. So that's when I spent 2020 into 2021 naming the school and writing the 571-page business plan.
That's a lot.
It was a lot. It was definitely like a mental warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during the pandemic, so there was nothing that I can do. It was like me and my laptop, you know, just writing this business plan. When I got tired of writing one section, I went to another. When I got tired of writing that, because I had 46 sections to write, so I could always
flip that. I remember that. She was typing. I was like, "What you doing?" She was like, "I'm working." That you didn't even sleep. I don't know if you slept a lot during that time.
Yeah, there were times when I would stay up for 2 weeks at a time to meet a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Just get things done. But and anyway, that's the process of how anyone can open and found their own charter school, which I didn't even realize. The problem is it's hard, right? Like, anyone can write a business plan. It's about writing a good business plan, know what you're talking about, and building a 5-year model for how you would build a school, grow a school, and then scale a school while still getting high results. So you have to think about every aspect of it, from the facility to the curriculum, to who you hire, to how you hire, to how you evaluate them, to what curriculum you use.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of work. And then you also have to build a board because it's a nonprofit.
Mm.
So I had to like just reach out to local professionals in the area. I ended up opening a school in Poughkeepsie City, New York.
Why Poughkeepsie?
Well, Poughkeepsie is sort of like a hub for big city problems, but in a very like rural city area. So it's surrounded by like more affluent white towns. But if you walk through the city of Poughkeepsie, like it's plagued with, there's a lot of beauty and resilience in Poughkeepsie. I don't want to paint it in like a deficit, but there's, the reality is that majority of people live below the poverty line. Majority of people are of color.
Mm-hmm.
Or struggle with mental health or drug addiction, things like that. So that's the reality of what you see. And they only have, there were no charters out here. So I could have opened in Brooklyn and been another one of the 200 charters that existed, or I could have went into an area where there is no other option.
Mm.
And so that came with its own political challenges because small town politics, someone who's not from there coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always a threat when you're thinking about how to like reproduce knowledge and change the way that knowledge is produced. So yeah, they came with a lot of political issues, but in June of 2021, I ended up getting state approved by the Board of Regents and State University of New York.
Good job, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then with a severely delayed grant, I had 1 year to hire everyone, recruit 120 students and families, get the building ready, get the lease ready, and so many different things in between. And then we opened in August of 2022. To serve 120 kindergarten and to first graders, and each year we'll grow a grade until we serve over 360.
Beautiful wow. answer that. Wow. So you said a lot. Yeah, go ahead and drop a bomb. Drop a bomb for my friend.
I didn't want to cut it off. Now.
You know what I'm saying? So you see why I wanted it was worth the wait. It was worth the alarm going off because I told you this woman is amazing, and she kind of like glossed over a lot of stuff.
That must have been the people in the town hearing that she's about to do an interview, and they set the alarm off. Like,
I want to go back a little bit, Antoinette, because you kind of glossed over some things. She did gloss over a few things as far as opening up the building and the backlash that you faced. Can you like talk a little bit, speak a little bit to like the political issues that you had? If you can, I don't know if you can or not, but just set some light on some of the things that you. Yeah,
she probably don't want to tell the whole world all her business now, but hey.
No, but you know,
it is what it is. Basically, the short story of it is that there were very limited places. I knew I wanted to be in the city of Poughkeepsie. I didn't want to be in the town of Poughkeepsie because that's not who I opened the school for. Mm. So there were basically two buildings that I had the choice between, and both of them were owned by the Archdiocese, the church. And so one just like
talk about it.
The square footage, all of it was perfect. So they had a vacant building. I ended up getting it. As soon we went over a year of lease negotiations back and forth between lawyers, it was like a 50 plus page lease, a 28,000 square foot, 3-story building school. And so as soon as I was getting ready to like sign, the day I signed the lease, the day after I got like a notice from the city stating that like you can't lease there. Because it's out of zoning code that only a private school can be there because it was like formerly a Catholic school.
Wow.
And I knew that that wasn't true because we're a public school, so we're constitutionally protected, especially being in a building that has since 1935 only operated as a school building. Private or public shouldn't matter. So basically I had to like get lawyers, a land use attorney lawyer, and I spent the next 6 months battling with them to finally get the rights to the building, which meant that I had 2 weeks to completely renovate the building, move into it, and get it ready for the students. Well, I was planning to have 6 to 8 months to do that.
That's crazy.
And wow. Then, with construction, nothing ever goes as planned. So, of course, when we started constructing, between shady contractors to just issues that we found in an old building, it was just delayed, but I still was able to open on time. But I just had to like phase the construction.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that I can only imagine the things that you've gone through, especially trying to open up a school in a building where that was owned by the Archdiocese. Wow. And I remember when you was going through that, Kanan, you was like, I don't want to do this. I want to quit. And I'm like, you got this. It's going to be okay. I remember you like really stressing over that, and shout out to you. But there's something else that you touched on that you kind of glossed over. You said something about reproducing education, right? I want you to speak to the education that you feel like Black and Brown children are getting now, and what you offer, how you reproduce that education into a way that is now effective. Because you forgot to mention that you got shining reviews, on the academic level for how you wanted to push your kids. So I want you to speak to that. And I also wanted you to speak to how you became the top 140 under 40. Because that's...
I can't take credit for all of my philosophies of education because they're so much influenced by other people who I've read.
Like who?
Got the pleasure to learn from. I mean, the great revolutionaries like Malcolm X, Angela Davis, Assata Shakur. Mm-hmm. But also most, more recently, just like Goldie Muhammad, Bettina Love. And so I'll stick with Bettina Love for now in her book, We Want to Do More Than Survive. And she's actually extremely critical of charter schools. And I would say is not super pro charters, especially the ones that we come from, those large networks.
Yeah.
We for the same reasons don't like them. But Anyways, basically in her argument, it's that right now we are in an educational survival complex. We are just like merely trying to survive, especially Black and brown children, mm-hmm. that their school is not a place. It's just another institution that they have to get by in, that they have to get through, that they have to figure out, that they have to be criminalized in, dehumanized in. And so how do we get to a point at which students, especially students of color, can go to school and thrive? And for me, the way that I see it, the disconnect is you have to really tap into a sense of self. Like before we ask students to be kind to one another or tap into the collective or love and honor their history or their culture, they have to know their history and their culture, right? They have to be able to explore it, to define it. So when I built the school and I wrote the curriculum, identity was at the forefront. Like in school, we speak about who we are, what we've been through, where we want to go, the things that we're challenged by, you know, things that show up intergenerationally that we may not have experienced, but because our ancestors did, they show up in different ways. And then most importantly, I think about just this narrative of violence, especially in the communities that I grew up in. And I ultimately think it comes down, like if it's one young Black man walking on the street who get into an argument with another, he draws a gun. It's so easy to take his life. Why? Because he himself, the one who was the shooter, was never taught to see and recognize the humanity in himself. Mm-hmm. So how can we, starting at 5 years old, start to build that understanding of pride, of, you know, loving who you are, knowing who you are, mm-hmm. and then connecting with and supporting others who look like you as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't really got to think like you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's like what I said tonight. How do you bridge the gap between knowledge of the world and what in school all day you're learning? You have to memorize this, know this, read that, but never do you get to question things, or never do you have to bridge the gap between, okay, this is what I learned, but this is how it looks like in my world, mm-hmm. or it will show up in my world. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, first of all, I am beyond proud to know you. You know, we always talk about this. I've been your biggest cheerleader ever since I decided that you were awesome and that I could learn from you. I want to share a memory, and I know you probably remember when you were like, listen, I'm going to perform. I think they were doing some type of show at our school, and you were like, I want to perform. I want you to videotape me. And you read this poem, right? And this poem was just amazing. Like it gave me chills. And on the JLP Wellness show, at JLP Radio itself, we talk a lot about spoken word. We are very big on, you know, identity as well, and speaking and like just promoting, you know, people to find out who they are, right? Part of people's identities are that they're poets, right? So I know that you're a spoken word poet, so I want to ask if you can recite that same poem, because I think it's just so appropriate about what the poem is entitled and what you're doing now.
What poem? I haven't decided a poem in years, and I will give the context. I wrote this poem when I was angry in college about all of the bullshit that I was learning and systems and being at a college that was predominantly white. So anyways, I can definitely recite the poem.
Okay, what's the title of the poem?
It's the first line. Young Black men live to be fathers to their children. Question mark.
Okay, go ahead. Whenever you're ready, you have the floor.
Okay.
I know she's shy, guys.
All right. Can young Black men live to be fathers to their children? Or must they fall victim to a system that was built to dismiss them? Police lying say they resist them only because they got weapons to assist them. Justice has gone missing, trust in this crooked system. Too much talking and not enough listening. Being Black has become a crime, as if the color of your skin is the only thing that can be defined. If we rewind time, you will find this country has always been racist, faceless, political escapist. They brought human cargoes here in chains, gave them their last names, bred their children with pain, all because they didn't look the same. Slaves built our roads, they paved our street, they picked this country's cotton with their own two hands and feet. They created our economy that we brag about so prosperously, turned Black culture into a monopoly. Then they hung bodies from trees, stripped them of what it meant to be free. Black bodies were disposed of and never treated of properly. As time went on, they created were prisons only meant for people of color to exist in. Committed to inhumane living, prison is an industrial complex made to abolish black activists that were working so actively to combat these inequalities. The oppression is America's obsession, only disguised as a lesson. The good old, well, if you work hard, you can make it. Yeah, well, I say this is a fabrication, because blacks and browns have been working their entire existence to combat the discrimination that is woven in our nation. Red for the blood that was shed, blue for the bruises of the abused, and white for supremacy. Because we have too many Darren Wilsons who are armed and willing to commit a killing, then blame the victim and not spend a damn day in prison. Rest in peace, Mike Brown, who was taken living in the skin he never asked to be in. It's time for some uplifting, more marching, less sitting. We need more people who are willing and driven to combat the systematic oppression that has made me so livid. That has decreased our standard of living. This ain't about winning. This is about digging ourselves out of the grave. The grave of the enslaved, the depraved, and the behaved. It's not too late to save ourselves, to reclaim our wealth. And by wealth, I don't mean money. I mean unity, I mean knowledge, I mean homage. The internalization of self-hatred that has been perpetuated through the segregation of the soul and the mind. A prisoner of history, because his story leaves all glory to the colonizer, not the colonized that has been deprived, left to believe that his color is a stain, to be a slave to one's own appearance, only defined by the other, the same other who stole brothers and those other brothers who hurt mothers, whose children were left to suffer just to cover one's own color. Because when you're colored, others believe they are above you, but to believe is to deceive, especially when your beliefs are used to mistreat. And in a quote-unquote post-racial society, it is now more than ever that privilege be acknowledged and the school-to-prison pipeline be abolished and the truth be acknowledged that there are actually more black men in college and that you can only be set free once you realize you are being held hostage.
Wow. I think it hit more this time than the first time I heard it. Miss Kane, thank you very much. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I appreciate you for coming on the show. I would be remiss, right, if I didn't put you in a hot seat. Are you ready?
Sure.
It's this is the first time I'm debuting this. It's called this or that, right? So I'm gonna give you two options, and it's gonna be kind of rapid fire. And still don't know. I just sprung it on him, but I decided, you know what? If it's gonna be enough time at the end of this, I want to see, because I know people want to get to know a little bit about who Miss Kane is now on the other side, like personally, because we know her professionally. Now let's see if she can handle being in the hot seat. Your first question: polyamorous or monogamous?
Monogamy.
Drop a bomb.
Okay. Jay-Z or Nas?
I'm gonna go with, damn, I'm from Brooklyn, but I'm gonna go with Nas.
Stills like that. Okay. A Night on the Town or Netflix and Chill?
Damn, a little bit of both, but I'll say Night on the Town if I don't know you like that.
Okay. Steak or salad?
Steak.
Okay. And my last question, Nets or the Knicks?
Knicks.
Whoa! There you have it, my friend. Just put it on. She just said, before we go, Antoinette, I want you to give your socials, how everybody could follow you, and all about your school and how they can support your school.
Yeah, my school is Little Water Prep. You can follow us on Instagram at Little Water Prep. P-R-E-P. My personal is Antoinette Marie, spelled just like Marie Antoinette, but reversed. And my Instagram is Antoinette Marie, but double A. So A-A, Antoinette Marie.
Great. Is there anything that you would like to say, any plugs you like to make, any black businesses you would like to, any shout outs? You have time.
The shout out is to both of you for having me today and listening. And my extra shout out is to Janice, especially because I love her. If you know Janice, no matter where she goes, she operates through love and joy and brings that to everyone. And so shout out to you, Janice. You are living proof.
Are we outside later? That's all I want to know.
Check you out.
Yes, yes. When I moved my way to Brooklyn, yes.
Okay. All right. So I'll see you later, friend. Thank you so, so much. I'm gonna let you go.
Thank you again.
Thank y'all.
All right.
Worth the wait.
Yeah.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. What a story.
Yeah, she got a dope story for sure. Lord,
she need to write a book. She need to write a book.
That's big.
Top 40 under 40. And she's not even 30. Forget about 40. She's not even 30 yet.
Oh my God.
And she's accomplished a lot. I want to thank all the listeners. I want to shout out a few Black businesses and organizations. We missed a lot since we've been gone. So, again, shout out all the fathers. I do not want this day to go by without shouting out all the fathers for Father's Day. We had a whole show dedicated. There's been a lot of Black going on. Shout out to my dad, the greatest dad. And you know what? Shout out to my kid's father, man. He showed up for my daughter's graduation.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, word. And you know, she was really happy, the happiest I've ever seen her. So, you know, I just wanted to say that. Also, Juneteenth. Black businesses, one of the best Black businesses I know is the Bars and Hoop Radio Show. If you have a podcast that you want to debut, get in contact with this man or myself. Serious inquiries only, right?
That's a fact.
Have a plan. Stills, he's cool, but he's very business oriented, and he definitely don't play that, especially about his bread. Also, shout out to your clothing line. King's Ransom.
We got the hats on the way. We got the polos on the way. Well, the polos are already here. T-shirts. Everything is on barsandhoops.com. Click on that shop button and go to town. And I got you.
Don't you have a tournament coming up?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, I had to postpone the tournament because, you know, a lot of technical difficulties with these organizations and kids and teams traveling.
But it's still on, though?
It's still on.
Okay.
And we're going to have the kickoff date on the weekend of July the 16th, I believe.
Okay. That's you know gonna what be I mean? Nice. And we're going to have
it's a junior varsity tournament, so 16 and under. I'm going to have some younger kids playing up from 14 and 15-year-olds. Competing against older kids, which they should, because it only gets them better. Iron sharpens iron, steel sharpens steel. So we'll be kicking that off, like I said, the weekend of the 16th, 17th of July, and we'll go all the way to the end of August. So, you know, make sure you pull up, man. The tournament is located at Locust Manor Playground, which is the Jackie Robinson School of Queens. If you know what that is, 121-15 Lucas Street.
And Springfield, that's July 16th?
Yes, July 16th, yes.
All right, well, looking forward to that. Shout out to all the people who will participate.